Anyone receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages in your Bible, in sequence, in order that you may be able to make a choice for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number 8 in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in this series in numerical order, so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of this series, or to the tapes out of sequence, can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of this series.
Now turn to Hebrews 5, please. Hebrews 5. Now, Hebrews 5, he began saying to them there in verse 8, although Jesus was a son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Now, is that the way you learn obedience? Reproof? You remember what we saw over in Hebrews 12? As a son, he disciplines for us for our good. Isn't that right? We know in Hebrews 12, at verse 11, it said, all discipline for the moment doesn't seem to be joyful, but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Now, this is the way Jesus, we walk as he walked, and he learned obedience through suffering. You and I learn obedience through suffering. And then verse 9, and having been made perfect, and you and I are supposed to be perfect, we're going to be made perfect because we're going to be holy as he is holy. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who what? Well, they got to obey this gospel. If you obey the gospel, then you're going to be led into sanctification and eternal life. Isn't that right? Maturity, the source of eternal life. Now, would that be maturity right there? Isn't that right? When you're led into eternal life, you better believe it. Now, verse 11, you're going to have the divine nature that we studied one night. Verse 11, concerning him, we have much to say, and it is what? It is hard to explain to you. It's hard to explain to you, particularly since you become dull of hearing and you can't hear the Lord. Listen, folks, he's telling him in 1 Corinthians 3, I'm wanting to lead you on. I've got some material things and I'm wanting to tell them to you, but you're dull of hearing because your hearts are not set on Jesus because you're practicing all this then. Amen? You're dull of hearing. You can't hear. You haven't got ears to hear. All three of you said, he is wise as ears. Let him hear what the Spirit's saying. And I can't tell you because your heart sees. And later on, he said, you hadn't repented. You can't hear. You can't be led into maturity. You want to camp somewhere and gather around something. That's what they've done since the Reformation. Luther got some light, and they gathered around Luther's light, and they still gathered around Luther's light. Luther died. Of course, I'll tell you again, if Luther's here, he'd still be looking for Luther, looking for some light. But then in chapter 6, I missed a couple of verses right there. Verse 13. Forever. One who partakes only of milk, circle that only of milk, he's not accustomed to the word of righteousness. He's not into righteousness because he's only a what? He's a babe. He doesn't know about his weapons and overcome and taking every thought captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, tearing down these strongholds and something like that. He's coming to the light. He can't hear. He can't hear yet. He can't hear the words of wisdom. He's got to move on into it. Amen? Okay. But verse 14, but solid food, this solid food, this wisdom of God is for the who? Who? They're for the mature. They're for the mature person. The one complete in Christ who, because of what? He practices righteousness. And that's what we saw over there in John 3, 19 through 21, that you want all your deeds manifested in God. And we also saw the ones who practice righteousness, the children of God and the children of the devil, are obvious in John 3, 10, and the one who does not practice righteousness is of the devil. Isn't that right? But because of the practice of righteousness, because of they don't practice sin, don't practice strife and jealousy, they have their what? Senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, did your Bible say that you take every thought captive? How can you possess the land if you're not able to discern between good and evil? Well, let me ask you something. How can you discern between good and evil if you don't enter into maturity? Well, how can you enter into maturity if you have a doctrine that tells you, or that doctrine that does not conform you to godliness. Because if you have a doctrine that doesn't conform you to godliness, 1 Timothy 6, 3 and 4, you are without understanding. And that's the reason you cannot hear the wisdom of God. Because 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, you no longer war after the flesh, and that's jealousy and envy, anger, and these kind of things, but your weapons are mighty in God to tear down strongholds. And we're talking about the weapons that you put up. You put up because you're in a war. If you're not in a war of the devil, he's got you deceived. You're supposed to overcome him or he'll overcome you. But you take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. How can you do that unless you're sober and unless you're alert? How can you do that unless your senses are sharpened by practicing righteousness and you keep coming to light and you keep receiving reproof and you keep receiving the truth? You keep going through fire. You keep going through affliction. You keep going through the persecution. And when these things come on, you don't shrink back. You keep coming to light. Say, Lord, I don't know. I tell you what, it's tough right here, but Lord, I don't know what I'm learning in this thing, but I'm still coming to you, Lord. I'm coming to you, and I'm standing on that word. I'm standing to you. I'm suffering in the flesh, but I'm ceasing from sin. I'm dying to this stuff. There's nothing going to be left of me but you. And that's how you come out like gold. You keep coming through the fire, and he keeps putting you in trials. I told you that one trial I had, and I heard learn some things about heart going after money and things like that. See, he let me get in the fire there for a little while. Now, he said, now, verse 6, here's what he said. Now, chapter 6 right there. Here's what he said to them. Therefore, here's what I want you to leave. I want you to leave these elementary teachings. I want you to leave these elementary teachings about Christ, and I want you to move on in this word. I want you to move on the word to have your heart purified. I don't want you to... He's saying right there, I don't want you to still camp around this laying upon a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. I don't want you to camp around washings and instruction about washing. I don't want you to camp on laying on of hands. I don't want you to camp around the resurrection of the dead. I don't want you to camp around the eternal judgment. I want you to get that word of God in you till it's formed, as Christ is complete and formed in you. Amen? You go on and you possess that land and have a pure heart. Amen? Don't you camp around this stuff while you're practicing sin, because 2 Thessalonians 2 tell you about how in the last days and activity of Satan, people's hearts are going to go after signs and wonders, and that's the day. Their hearts are going to go after signs and wonders, and it says they're going to perish. Why? Because they didn't receive a love for the truth. And God said, I'm going to let a deluding influence come on them so they'll believe what is false. Their heart goes to the byproduct of Jesus instead of going to Jesus. It goes to signs and wonders instead of Jesus. Signs and wonders follow the word. We're excited about Jesus. We're not excited about signs and wonders. But you take a king, you take that man over in Matthew 7 that cast out demons and prophesied and did miracles. I guarantee you, when he come to town, Jesus said, I didn't know you. You wonder who got the glory, him or Jesus? He's looking for followers. He's going to be an idol. You got to follow me. I've got the power. He's not going to tell you to follow Jesus, that the power comes from him. So it goes ahead there. Are we supposed to skip Hebrews 6 here? Are we supposed to act like it's not there? Okay. Okay, let's just go on then. So we go there in verse 4. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and they have tasted, they've eaten this good word of God, and of the powers of the age to come. Should we stop there or keep on going? You want to go on? Okay. And then have what? Fallen away. Can I tell you, falling away is not good? It's not good to fall away. And then have fallen away. Let me tell you what. It is impossible. I said, it is impossible. I'm telling you, folks, that it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified of themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Now, I want you to hold your place right there, and I want you to turn right over to me to Hebrews 10, and it said it's impossible to renew him to repentance. You know what falling away is? Your heart. Hey, let me just first explain to you what falling away is. Falling away means your heart goes to something else besides Jesus. You start loving something more than you do Jesus. That's how you fall away. And you know, look at me. Look at me. If you're following Jesus with all your heart right here, you're being washed by the Word of God and you're being led into all truth. And along the way, what are the powers of darkness going to come? They'll come along with doctrines of demons that cause you to fall away, deceitful spirits that have your hearts to go somewhere else, and they'll let cause another root to come into your heart. And if you're not following after the root of Jesus, what do you hope? You're going to fall away from the faith, and you'll start changing the Word of God. You know, now look at me. Let me just have you understand that. See, if I've got pride, if I enjoy pride, if I love the root of pride, when I come to the Word of God, I'm going to skip and pick and choose and water down everything so that I can live with pride. And from right, pride is a root that has all kinds of evil attached to it. Now, in 1 Timothy 6, if I have the love of money, and that's where that whore church was over, it had a form of godliness in 2 Timothy 3. In 1 Timothy 6, if you have, let me just read it to you. If you have a root of the love of money, if your heart goes after the love of money, it says in 1 Timothy 6, 9, that those who want to get rich, they fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Now listen to this. For the love of money, if your heart begins to love the money, this reason, the Lord said, do not love the world nor the things in the world. In other words, don't let it get your heart. Don't let money, don't let any idols, gold, wood, stone of the world, and that's what the powers of darkness come to get your heart to go after these things instead of Jesus. That's silver and gold right here. Verse 10, for the love of money, silver and gold, is the root of all sorts of evil. Now, when you love money, you're going to have selfishness. You're going to have to be deceitful. You're going to have to be suspicious. You're going to have to be jealous. You're going to envy. And all of these things, all these other evils are going to come out of that one root right there. Now, when your heart goes after that pride and everything, see, well, what do you think you're going to do with the Word of God? If you don't give up pride, you can't be washed for it. That shows that you love pride more than you do Jesus. Isn't that right? So it shows that you've got idol in your heart because you're practicing that and you won't give it up. See? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Because all was because the root of all evil and some, the love and money right here, for instance, and some, it's the root of all sorts of other evil, and it gives the enemy, if they can get you love and money, then they can get all kind of other things for your heart to do, deceitful things, so you can have money. Amen? And some, for longing for it, their heart's going after money, they wander away from the faith and pierce themselves with a many a pang. Now let me ask you something. Are you beginning to see that the love of money is just one idol? It's a root that can come in, and then it pulls you away from the faith, just like it says right there. It pulls you away from the faith, and then you're going to justify love and money, and you're going to only use part of the Word of God because you won't use all the Word of God because you love money more than you do Jesus. How many see that? Hold up your hand. Now, that's exactly how it works. And see, that's how you fall away. And what happens when your heart stays there? Your heart becomes hardened to where you don't come back to the Word of God. Now, why does it come hardened? Because you're not going to the sacrifice. Now, let's look at, now let me read that again to verse 6. Hebrews 6, 6. And then you, well, verse 5, you've tasted the good Word of God. Verse 6, and then have fallen away. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify themselves, the Son of God, and they put him to open shame. Now, if we look in Hebrews 10, let's look there in verse 26. For if we go on sinning willfully, sinning willfully would be your heart loving pride, and you won't give it up, or loving the root of evil, which would be money, or if your heart, say, love greed, and you won't give it up, that'd be an example of it, and all kinds of evil would come in, you wander away from the faith. For if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, which is what you saw back in Hebrews 6, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. See, if you practice it, that means you love the sin more than you do Jesus. How many follow me so far? Is that right? You love the sin more than you do the Lord Jesus Christ, and there no longer remains a sacrifice to you, because what do you go to the sacrifice for? If you receive reproof and discipline, which a person does if Jesus Christ is your Lord, when you make a mistake, you're going to come to sacrifice and you're going to be cleansed by it so you won't be judged by the law. Is that right? Is that right? All right, now let's just continue in verse 29. How much severe punishment do you think he's going to deserve? He tramples underfoot the Son of God, and he regards as unclean the blood of this covenant right here. He regards it unclean because he says, I'm in a covenant, and I can walk in this pride. I can have this idol of greed. I can have this idol of love of money. I can have this idol of pride right here. And regards as unclean the blood of the covenant which he has sanctified. And he, you know what he's doing? He's insulting. He insults the Spirit of grace. Now, are you seeing what the difference is about having another Jesus and another gospel and be led by a different spirit? Amen? Let's read verse 30. Because when this happens to you, when you practice it, you won't come to the light. See, now, let me explain to you again. If a person makes this mistake, it's heart going after money, he'll be convicted of it by the Lord. He'll receive reproof and he'll turn from it, right? He'll come to the light. Now, the difference is, but if somebody willfully, and you know that's what a doctrine that doesn't conform you to godliness will teach you to be in rebellion to the Word of God. You won't receive the Word of God because the doctrine takes the place of the Word of God. It takes precedence. See, the doctrine becomes the idol and think it's going to take you into heaven. That's why people get blinded to the Word. Now we look at verse 30. For we know him who says, what? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. Now, did we say that the Lord was going to have vengeance for his temple? Vengeance for his temple? Did we see that? Well, what is the vengeance for a temple? Because when you don't keep it pure and holy and everything, and you let thieves and robbers come into it, you let the powers of darkness just take over and sin and rebellion, what are you doing? You're defiling the temple. Is that right? What do you say? Well, we get back to 1 Corinthians 3. He said, if you defile the temple, I'm going to destroy you. Now, are you seeing how you're destroyed when you defile the temple? That's what he's trying to tell them. You're going to go through fire. And if you don't go through the fire, you're going to be destroyed because you defile the temple. Amen? And the ones that come through the fire are not defiling the temple. Amen? How many see that? Hold up your hands. Well, amen. That's how you're saved, as through fire. You destroy the temple of God, I'm going to destroy you. Do you know that everyone who practices sin destroys the temple of God? See, when you're not looking at this the wisdom of God, the only thing you want to see is just somebody putting a gun to their head or something like that. See, you destroy the temple of God when you agree with the powers of darkness, because the tree cutters come and cut you down, and they gather up all the branches, and they wither up, and they gather them up and burn them. And this is what happens to them. Now, let's just continue right back there. We're back in Hebrews 6 now. Let's read it again. Verse 5, you've tasted the good word of the God, verse 6, and then have fallen away. Now, see, people whose heart... Now, let me just show you somebody right here. If your heart has been tied to a doctrine, your mind is going 50 miles an hour to prove the word not to be right here. You won't come to the light. You won't see. See, if it's already got your heart, see, you won't come to the... See, you can't be led in all truth. You're just like the Pharisees because you already know all the truth. You've got to justify the flesh in picking and choosing through the Word of God, see? Although... So the whole counsel of God has no effect on you. Because why? God doesn't have your heart. You've got another Jesus. Let's just continue. And then you've fallen away after tasting the good word of God, verse 6. It is impossible. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance. It's impossible. Since again they crucified with themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame, they've already said openly, I love this more than I do you, Lord. I'll be a little religious, but I'll quit drinking, smoking, chewing, and cussing, but I'm not gonna possess the land. I'm not gonna have a pure heart. Verse 7. Now, where's the ground at? Where's the land at? Is this her heart? Is this God's field is talking about? You're supposed to be God's field, 1 Corinthians 3:9. Okay. Now, but if it, verse 7. For ground, that's your field, that's your heart, that drinks the rain. Now that's the Holy Spirit, the Word, which often falls upon it, and it brings forth fruit useful to those whose sake is tilled. What do you receive? A blessing for God. Now let me show you what that happens right there. Someone like that is being led by the Spirit of God, and if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're no longer under a curse because you're not a lawbreaker. Is that right? because Jesus became a curse for you at Calvary, and that's how you're not a curse. Amen? That's the church. You're led by the Spirit of God, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And so what are you going to do? You're going to bear fruit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you're going to prove the Spirit is going to be, the fruit of your heart is going to be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temper, the faith. Against such things there's no law, and so therefore you receive blessing because the law is fulfilled in you. Jesus has fulfilled the law in you, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. You're walking in love. Isn't that right? So you receive blessings. You're not under the law and you're not breaking the law. Amen? But, so because you bring forth vegetation from this ground right here, That bears fruit for God. Isn't that right? Now look in verse 8. Do you see that first word? What does it say? But. Now here's the opposite of it. But if it yields thorns and thistles. Now we saw that we're talking about the false prophet over there in Matthew 7. Inwardly is full of, he's like a wolf. In other words, he's saying one thing, but if he loves pride, he's going to exploit the congregation. If he loves greed, he's going to use people to build a name and a reputation and a career for himself. He likes nickels, noses, and numbers. He'll water down the word of God. He won't sanctify the congregation because he loves pride more than he does Jesus. So he won't say what God says. He's not out to please God. He's just out for shares to give God some of the glory. He'll give God some of the glory, 70% of it, once again, if he can get about 30 of it to build his name and career and reputation of the flesh. Amen? Now, if he has greed, what is he going to do? He'll come before, he'll use all relationships. I don't care if it's a congregation, whatever it is, it's another root. And he'll exploit. 2 Peter 2 shows you how false teachers will do that. They'll exploit. Their hearts are trained in greed, and they'll exploit the congregation to fulfill greed in their life because that's the root tie to their heart. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that plain? But if it yields thorns and thistles, this is what it's talking about right there. And Isaiah 5 said when it yields thorns and thistles, it's worthless fruit, and he lowers the hedge on it. And this is what he does right here. That's how the vengeance of God comes. It's how the tree cutters come. That's how you're gathered up as a branch and burned in John 15, verse 6. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless. That's the fruit of the flesh. And it's close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Well, what does it mean? Is close to being cursed. If he doesn't repent, if he doesn't turn from this thing right away, this sin is soon going to harden his heart. Isn't that right? His heart is going to be hardened, and then that's the sin unto death, because then he won't go to repent because he's resisted the word of God so much that his heart becomes so hardened. And see, he better turn around right there. That's why he told him over in Second Corinthians, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Because those who practice these things are not going to enter in the kingdom of God, and I've already told you. Examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. Now, they're close to being cursed, and it's going to continue right there. They're going to end up being burned if something doesn't happen to them. Is that right? Now, how many of you see that? They're close. All right, let me read it again. I see about two people that might not have seen it. But if it yields the fruit of the flesh, is the fruit of flesh rebellion? If the ground which is your heart yields the fruit of the flesh, all right, it is worthless. That is worthless fruit, and it is close to being cursed. In other words, it is withering. Is that right? Is that when the withering comes? Amen? Which means, if you don't repent, if you continue right there bearing thorns and thistles, does it show that you're practicing sin? Is that right? Then you're close to being cursed if you don't turn around. Amen? The judgment of God's on you, is that right? The wrath of God come because so you're close to being cursed, so you better turn around. Now, how many see that so far? Turn around. Hold up your hand. Okay. So you're close to being cursed because the curse is really coming against you. The wrath of God, Jesus became redeemed you from the curse of the law, but you're breaking the law, and the law is bringing wrath and judgment against you at this point right here. Now, the only way that you can get away from this vengeance of God, this vengeance of God has come to the sacrifice. And if you remain in His place, your heart's going to be hardened to where you can't even hear the Word of God. You can't receive this wisdom of a mature man. Now, how many of you are seeing what I'm saying? And see, and if you don't do it, if you don't come to this sacrifice, you're already close to being cursed if you don't turn around. And I'm going to tell you something else. The judgment of God's already on you. And what did we see in Matthew 7, verse 19? If you bear the wrong fruit, are they bearing the wrong fruit right there? Are they bearing the wrong fruit? Before I read Matthew 7 to you. I'm going to turn over there, and I want to read. Now, don't you lose your place right there, but I'm going to turn with you over to John 15, and I want to read something to you right there about fruit now. Now, that's thorns and thistles and bearing the wrong fruit. Now, in John 15, verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. That's, now, this is Jesus speaking. He takes away. He takes it away. If it don't bear fruit, he's taking away. Now, I want to ask you something. Is someone bearing the fruit of thorns and thistles? They bearing fruit with God? Absolutely not. But every branch that bears fruit, the Lord is going to cut you back that you're going to bear more fruit. Isn't that right? You're going to keep bearing more fruit. Now, what do you keep bearing more fruit? What is that? That's a person that's overcoming. He's enduring to the end. Is that right? Okay. Now, if you look at verse 6, if anyone does not, that word abide means continue. If anyone does not continue in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't just go up lay and pass out self double-minded as adulterers and think you have any part of the kingdom of God. You've latched your heart onto a doctrine that does not conform you to godliness, and you're without understanding deprived of truth. Now that's Ephesians 6, 1 Timothy 6, 3 and 4. If anyone does not continue in Jesus, he is thrown away as a branch. Now does that sound like that a curse is upon him? Does that sound like wrath that comes upon him? Because why? He dries up. That means withers. Because when you've got bearing the wrong fruit, you're going to wither. That's what he's trying to warn him over in 1 Corinthians 3. There's practicing that strife and jealousy. You can't hear the word of God. You're not having your senses sharpened. You're not moving on into maturity. Amen? And he said, he's thrown away as a branch, and he dries up, he withers, and they gather them. They is the hedges down. And you see this plainly in Isaiah 5 when it talks about the worthless fruit. The hedge comes down, and he casts them into the fire, and they are what? Burned. Now, is that exactly what you said? So, now let me read over in Hebrews 6, verse 8 again. But if it doesn't yield the good vegetation that receives the blessings, it's going to yield the kind of fruit that receives the curse. Now, what you're seeing is the two different kind of trees in Matthew 7. One goes to heaven, one goes to hell. Matthew 7, 21. Well, many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, and he said, I don't know. They think they know the Lord. And the next one is the one right there that says the one that does the will of God. Now, he's the one that bears the right vegetation, the right fruit, because he obeys the word of God. Now, look at verse 8. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it's worthless. It's close to being cursed if he doesn't turn his heart around. And it ends up being what? Burned. It's cast away. It's going to end up being burned. If he never turns around, it's close to being cursed right then. And he's going to sin until he hardens his heart that he can't even hear the word of God anymore. You know what I mean? If he continues in it, right? Okay. And then, see, and there's going to be any sacrifice and sin. If you don't go to the sacrifice and get it sacrificed, you know, and go and repent to him, don't look for any sacrifice later on. See, and that's why you walk in the fear of God. That's understanding the fear of God. Now, I want to read to you in Matthew 7, verse 17. Every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. Every good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Now, you're talking about these two trees. And look in verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And that's how it ends up being burned, because he's bearing the fruit of thistles and thorns. You see it there in verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorns. There's your thorn bushes, or figs, and there's your thistles, are they? You see that? Now, there's your different kind of trees. And see, therefore, you see in Matthew 7:21, who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's the one who's bearing the thorns and thistles right there. They're not bearing the fruit of God, and they're not overcoming the flesh. They've found some doctrine or some way that they've turned. They're falling away from the faith. They're calling something Christian. It's not Christian. But it says very plainly, but he who does the will of my God, who's going to go into heaven? Well, who's the one that's going to go into heaven? He that obeys the word of God. And clearly in Matthew 7:24, you see the two different kind of trees. It's called the wise man and the foolish man. In other words, chapter 25, it's the same thing too. The foolish and wise virgins, that would throw a lot of people, because everybody thinks you're going to go for the name virgin, that that automatically you're in heaven. Well, that's not what your Bible said. They knock on the door and they don't get it opened over there in Matthew 25, and said they don't even have the oil, which is the Spirit, and the lamp, they can't even see where they're going because their lamps are not lit. The Word's supposed to be a light, lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And so they're outside and they can't get in, and they're the same one here that says, Lord, Lord. Everyone says, Lord, Lord's not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, I could tie some things to Luke 13, but that's another teaching. That's part of the Babylon tapes. But I want you to see clearly while we're in Matthew 7 that the two different kind of trees are, you see in verse 24, the one that bears the fruit of God, he hears the word of God and he what? Acts upon it. Now, if you've got a doctrine that does not conform you to godliness, you act on the doctrine and tradition. But if you act on the Jesus Christ as your Lord, you come to this mirror and your life lines up and the Spirit of God leads you to act upon the Word of God. And then we see the other man right there. So you'll bear fruit for God. And then verse 26, you see right there, everyone who hears the words of God and does not act upon them. See, he doesn't act upon the Word of God. He's a foolish man. And he built this sand, but you've got the wrong kind of foundation. You get another Jesus and you get another gospel. And then we know the rains descended, the floods came, and that's the powers of darkness with their words, the river of words that Satan brings to test you, the fiery trials. It burst against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. I want you to know it surely did fall away. Now, is that clear up to this point? Amen. So now is Hebrews 6 kind of clear to you? Because let's look in verse 9. I want to read 8 again. But if it yearns and thistles, it is worthless. And it's close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. But, beloved, we are convinced of better things than these thistles and thorns concerning you. We are convinced of the things that really are supposed to accompany salvation. You see it? Isn't that plain? When the Lord opens your eyes, isn't that just real plain? Now look in verse 12. Now, I want to look at verse 11. I desire that each one of you show the same diligence as to realize the full assurance of the hope until the end. Well, what is the full assurance of the hope until the end? Well, I'm going to read this to you in just a minute. The hope until the end is in John, 1 John 3. The fact that, beloved, we are children. God has not appeared as yet what we're going to be. But when he appears, Jesus, we're going to be like him because we shall see him just as he is. Because why? You see, in verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. Verse 8, the one who practices sin is of the devil. Verse 9, no one is born of God practices sin. Verse 10, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone that doesn't practice righteousness is not of God. Therefore, verse 13, we know that we're, verse 2, you're going to, when he appears, we're going to be like Jesus because we're going to have a pure heart, because in verse 3, everyone who has this hope fixed on Jesus is what he's going to do. He's going to purify himself just as he is pure. And that's exactly what we saw over in Revelation 19, that the bride got herself ready because the bride loved Jesus Christ with all her heart, and she always practiced right. She always comes to the light. So if anyone is not purifying himself, may I tell you very plainly that his hope is not in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the full assurance of the hope until the end, verse 12, that you may not be sluggish. Don't be like they were over there in 1 Corinthians 3, but be imitators of those. Be imitators of the ones who walk after Jesus. Be imitators of Paul. Be imitators of the word that God spoke through Paul right here. Be imitators of those through faith and patience. They go and inherit the promise. Is that right? Right? Now do you remember, now do you see why? I'm just going to read this to you. You don't have to turn to it because I've got just a few more scriptures I'm wanting to share with you right here. But I want you just to share something with you. And you see why. When you destroy the temple, when you let your temple be defiled, the fires of darkness come in and they cut you down. And you're burned up in the branches. All because of your heart willfully sinning. Is that right? And getting tied to another root besides the root Jesus. Because all your motives are to please Jesus, the root of pride is not going to come in. If all your motive is to please Jesus, the root of the love of money is not going to come in. If all your root is to please Jesus, the root of approval of men is not going to come in. Because if he has all your heart, nothing's going to come in but Jesus. Amen? Because everything you're going to do is you're going to do in the Lord. Is that right? All right, so said verse 1 Corinthians 3, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you in this temple? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. And so how do you let it be destroyed? You just let yourself start practicing sin. You let your heart go after something else, and then you're going to fall away. And then when you fall away and you don't repent, the vengeance of God comes on you. The wrath of the law and the judgment of the law comes upon you because you're not having the protection of Jesus, because you're willfully sinning, and you're willfully sinning because you're not receiving reproof and discipline. And if you're not receiving reproof and discipline, you are an illegitimate son. And then when you're an illegitimate son, the tree cutters come in and cut you down. And they cut you down, and that's why you defile a temple, and he destroys you. Amen? You don't let the temple get defiled, and you have the blessings of God. Now, is that plain? Now, that's what happens when you put the judgment of God in here. But once again, I want to tell you a doctrine that another doctrine wants to please flesh, and that doesn't please flesh. But it sure does please Jesus, because this doctrine teaches you in 1 Peter 1:14 and 2:16 that you, as obedient children, you no longer going to be conformed to the flesh, but which was yours in your ignorance when you're in darkness. But like the Holy One, you're going to be holy in all your behavior. Now that's contrary. Now that is something I wanted to. I want to show you about a hardened heart. I want to show you about this hardness where you don't come to the sacrifice, and so you'll understand that better. Back up to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. He starts there in verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a holy calling. Isn't that right? Now, he warns up there, if you're hearing his word, verse 7, don't harden your heart. Is that right? Don't harden your heart. And that's what he says right there. He told about the generation, you know, that we shared last night about the heart going astray. But I want you to see how this ties again in verse 12. Take care, brethren. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the brethren, isn't he? Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Now, I'm going to just share a verse to show you what an unbelieving person is. Titus 1, verse 15 and 16. To the pure, all things appear, but that's ones who have a pure heart, a purifying heart. But to those who are defiled, and unbelieving. That's the ones who practice sin. If you've got a defiled heart, you have an unbelieving heart because you're not possessing the land. You're not purifying your heart. Nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled, and they profess to know God, but by their deeds they are denying, they're detestable, they're disobedient, and they're worthless for any good deed. And that's exactly what we've seen. So, take care, brethren, in Hebrews 3:12, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in what? Falling away from a living God. Now, how can you fall away from a living God? Is let your heart turn from Jesus and turn to make an idol of something else that you're going to love more than the Lord. Now, look at me, folks. When you turn to let your heart go toward pride, when you turn to let your heart go toward love of money, see, that just begins a fortress in you. It just opens up all. When you turn to let your heart love anything more than the Lord, you are in the process of letting your heart be hardened. Because when you let these things come in, your heart go into them. See, you're not going to sacrifice. Are you not going to sacrifice? You're not going to Jesus to be cleansed. Isn't that right? So when you don't go to Jesus to be cleansed of it, what do you happen? That fortress keeps building and building, and more things begin attaching itself to you till your heart becomes so hardened. And you've fallen away from the faith. Is that correct? Do you see that? So what is Hebrews 3 and 4 about? That you possess the land so you can enter into rest. You can't enter into the rest unless you possess the land and purify your heart. Amen? And this is not an option. It says do it. So it says, lest you fall away, does your Bible say there that brethren can fall away? Let me ask you one more time. In Hebrews 3:12, does your Bible say that a brethren can fall away? Does it say that a brethren can fall away with an evil, unbelieving heart? Does your Bible say that he could fall away although he was a holy brethren partaker of a heavenly calling. All right, now in verse 13. Now, that would upset some people, but see what they have to do. And I don't say this is unkindly. They're going to have to do what I do. They're going to have to come and look in this Bible right here, because they come in and look in the mirror and see if what they're doing lines up with what the gospel is. Maybe they need to hear some little more mature things and all the laying on the hand trying to get the dead raised and so forth. They need to possess the land. Amen? Okay, now verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as still called today, lest any one of you be what? I can't hear you. You be hardened by what? The deceitfulness of sin. Folks, that is the falling away. The falling away is when your heart goes after something else. And then when your heart goes after something else, this is what the powers of darkness meant. That's called lust. Lust is when something draws your heart to somewhere else, the world or the things in the world. And then when the enemy can get you to do that, then your heart is pulled away from Jesus. And then that's when you're hardened. You practice this thing. You're practicing sin. And it's deceitful. And you're really loving something else more than you are the Lord with all your heart. Amen? And so you see that there. When you're hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, are you seeing where it's a sin unto death? Because it's a sin unto death because you don't go to the sacrifice to get it, to get repentant. You don't repent and go to the sacrifice. And there no longer remains any sacrifice for you because you've already said the covenant is unclean. You've already insulted the spirit of grace that wanted to lead you out of rebellion into heaven. Is that right? Is that clear and plain? And so when you harden by the deceitfulness of sin, here's what he warns you in verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ, and there's a condition, circle if about 8 times. You have become a partaker of Christ if you hold fast the beginning of your assurance firm unto the end. Now, I want you to know, firm unto the end, that your Spirit of God leads you into, Spirit of God leads you to bear the fruit of God and to overcome. And I want you to know that we looked in 2 Peter 2 about the divine nature that you come to. 2 Peter 1, verse 4, by the promises, in order that by them, the promises of God, you become partakers of a divine nature. And when you have a divine nature, you escape the corruption of the world in lust. You escape lust. And then it goes ahead and tells you the moral excellence, the self-control, the perseverance and godliness and all these things. And it goes on in verse 9, for he who lacks these qualities is blind. That's Laodicea right there. They're short-sighted. They have forgotten his former purification from sins. And you know, that's the same thing that the false teachers in 2 Peter 2, the false teachers, they're going to lead you in this, and the same thing is making reference to in Matthew 7, that the false teachers are going to leave destructive heresies. Verse 2, many are going to follow their sensuality, that's flesh, and because of them, the Word of God gets perverted. It's the way of truth is maligned, and in their greed, see, their heart going after greed. Their heart will go after greed. They will exploit you with false words. Now, they'll teach a whole lot of God, the things of God, but they have some wrong motives, which we saw in James 4. Their motives are wrong. Jesus is not the real root in their heart, because they've got the root of greed right there. They never have given up. They're going to exploit you with false words. Now, they'll pervert the Word of God. They won't use the Word of God to sanctify the congregation. They'll pick out things of the Word of God where they can build nickel noses and numbers, because that's what feeds greed. And their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And it goes on to show you that these people have a hell waiting on them. For verse 4, if God did not spare his angel when he sinned to cast them to hell. And it goes ahead and to share you the flood and the judgment that's going to be on them. He tells us plainly in 9, now the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. The unrighteous are kept under punishment because they're kept under the law and under fire and judgment of God, but godly people knows how to avoid, can be rescued from temptation by going and receiving from the throne of grace. Now these false teachers, verse 14, they have eyes full of adultery, they never cease from sin, and their hearts are trained in greed. They have a heart that's trained in greed. Their heart is not trained to being a slave of righteous. They are cursed children, and they're the blind that leads the blind, because look what they do in verse 18. For they speak out arrogant words of vanity, and they entice and lead people by fleshly desires, and the fleshly desires is what's supposed to be put to death. Now, once again, we see right here in the working, 1 Corinthians 6, that people that advocate doctrines that do not conform you to godliness. And because they, the flesh kings, take the place of King Jesus, and they have you together around them. That's how they exploit you and use you. They count you. They use you. They use you to make a good appearance in the flesh. That's that flesh congregation in Matthew 23 that God told them, you clean the outside of the cup, the inside is full of flesh indulgence, you're full of dead men's bone, how are you going to escape the sentence of hell? For speaking out arrogant words of them, they entice the congregation and people by fleshly desires, by sensuality. And we see there, verse 19, they promise them folks freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. And that's a corruption which is the opposite of divine nature. And we see there, verse 20, if after they've escaped the defilement of the world by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you get yourself entangled again in the world, and then you're overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. Why has the last state become worse for them than the first? Because you get yourself entangled in sin, and your heart begins so hardened that you can't come back to the Word of God, and there's no sacrifice for you. And there's no other sacrifice for it, because you've regarded the covenant of God as unclean, and you've trampled underfoot the Word, you've trampled underfoot the Son of God, and you've insulted the Spirit of grace. Does everyone see that plainly? Are you learning the fear of God? Right. Well, now let's go ahead in verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. Because, see, since they have turned away from the holy commandment, they cannot come back to the truth because their heart is so hardened they can't come back right now. Are you seeing what I'm saying? They absolutely cannot come back anymore because it would have been better for them not to turn away because they have trampled underfoot Jesus. And so it's happened, verse 20, to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit. What is a dog? A dog is someone outside the covenant of God. A dog returns to the vomit. Now, that's what happens when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and you continue in sin. It's like someone returning to it, a dog returned to its vomit, and a sow, after washing, turning to wallowing in the mire. Now, I would ask anyone that had any problem with this, what is your problem? Your problem is that your problem is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm giving you plenty of scripture to show where you are and where you've missed it right here. And if you're not getting it, then you've got a problem in your heart with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, something, one of those strongholds and those demons in you will be telling you that I'm your problem. Now, I want to tell you that your problem is that Jesus and that Word of God is in your Bible. You're not receiving it. You're not taking it to heart. Now, in Galatians 2, let me just read to you something else. Galatians 2, verse 17, if while seeking to be justified in Christ, you found to be sinners, is Christ the minister of this sin? May it never be. For if you rebuild what has once been destroyed, you prove yourself a transgressor. Glory be to God forevermore. What could be any clearer than that? Huh? Now, we're back over in Hebrews 4 now. Now, I've already explained to you up there in Hebrews 3:17 that give a comparison with whom he was angry for 40 years, what it knows who sins, whose bodies fell in the wilderness. What we saw in 1 Corinthians 10, that our bodies are going to fall the same way if we practice sin as they fell. And take heed, anybody thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. Because, see, when you leave out the judgment of God, you leave out 1 Corinthians 10, you call it something else, and you won't. You leave out the vengeance of God for those who want to practice sin, and which God told us over in Hebrews 10, it's got a fury of fire going to come on to those who in unbelief, they won't walk in the Word. So chapter 4, verse 1. You ready? Therefore, let us what? God says you better walk in fear. Who are you supposed to walk in fear of? The devil? Or men? No, you walk in the fear of God because perfect love casts out all fear of everything else, right? So when, therefore, let us fear lest while a promise remains of interest rest, any of you come short of it. Now you better fear if you don't come short of possessing a land, have a message, and then go shake it off and say, ho hum, huh? Verse 10, for the one who's entered in his rest is rested from his own works. In other words, it shows that Jesus is your Lord and the Spirit of God has entered in your heart. So verse, is control your life. Now verse 11, Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall to fall in the same example of disobedience and with the rebellion in your heart. Now look in verse 15. Now here's what the Lord wants us to do. Here's how you're going to overcome, and this is what the grace of God is. The grace of God calls you to overcome sin and the flesh and the world and the devil. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are. He's been tempted in the same things, yet he was without sin. So let us therefore draw near with confidence. Now, how do you draw near with confidence to the throne of grace? If your heart condemns you, you can't draw near with confidence. You draw near with confidence because if your heart condemns you, you've got sin. Repent of sin and then draw near the throne of grace. Amen? Okay. So draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, and then you're going to find the grace, mercy, and find a grace to help in time of need. But don't try to draw near to the throne of grace until you've done what James 4, 6 through 10 says, that cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, because then it says in verse 10, you can enter in the presence of God. But until you do it, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He has a clean hands and a pure heart. Confess that sin and deal with it, and then you get in the presence of God, and you get all your prayers answered as long as you're walking in peace. It's a walk of peace. Amen? But, okay. So, chapter 6 again, verse 4. For in the case of those who once been enlightened, I want to go through this again. I want you to get it. And tasted of the heavenly gift and become a partaker of the Holy Spirit, and has tasted of the good word and the power of the age to come. See, that follows, Hebrews 6 follows Hebrews 3, 4, and 5, doesn't it? And have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, and then you have fallen away. See, you don't go to God up there in confidence. You don't go to the throne of grace to help you to overcome this thing. You don't do it. You don't suffer in Jesus. You don't pay any attention to the Scripture that said, he who wished to come after me, let him deny himself, deny that flesh, and take up his cross and follow me. You don't pay any attention to 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, that you're going to walk as he walked, you'll suffer. If he suffered, you'll suffer in the flesh and cease from sin. No, flesh doesn't like it. And I want you to tell you in the last days that people are, 2 Timothy 4, that the time is going to come in verse 3 that the people are not going to endure sound doctrine, but they want have their ears tickled. They want doctrines of demons. They want another Jesus. They want another gospel. They want to have their ears tickled. They want to accumulate for themselves these false teachers in accordance to their own desires. It'll tell them as they walk in this rebellion how righteous and holy they are in their stiff-necked rebellion. They want to tell them. So they go, since they love the flesh, since they love greed, since they love the world, since they love money, since they love these things, they're going to find them doctrines and teachers in accordance to their own desire. And when you ever turn to this, the next verse says you turn your ears away from the truth. You turn your ears away from God, and although you're eat, drinking, and being merry for a season, you're being destroyed by the powers of darkness. And the powers of the age to come, and then you've fallen away. Your heart goes to something else, and that's what the parable of the Word shows you about. It's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify themselves to the Son of God and put him to open shame. And in other words, when you're falling away, that means falling away means your heart has gone to something else and you've got yourself an idol and you just want Jesus to be one of your idols. You've got another idol and you want Jesus to be idol. That's how you speak blessings and curses. Amen? And that's how you become an adulteress. Is that plain? But then if falling away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For the ground, that's the heart, it drinks the rain, which often falls upon it. It's going to bring forth good fruit for God, useful to those for whose sake it's also tilled. They're the ones that receive the blessing from God. But if it yields its flesh, hardness, a hardened heart, if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless. It is close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Now, if you were not, look at verse 1, 6:1. Therefore, what does it say? You better leave these elementary teachings about Christ and let us press on to maturity and possess that land, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith toward God. Now, how's this fitting in, folks? Are you seeing what I'm saying? In other words, there's many things that we can say right there that I don't think a person's going to continue in strife and jealousy. If you do, you have an idol. And, of course, if you come through the fire, you suffer the loss of all things, don't you, folks? Don't you do it? Don't you suffer the loss of relationships? Don't you suffer the loss of the world, the things in the world, the flesh? Isn't that right? But you've suffered the loss of them because none of these things have your heart. Is that right? Then all your work, this is how all your flesh works get burned up. Isn't that right? All the flesh works get burned up. Reckon it might have been read a little bit over in 1 Corinthians 3. It might have talked about the wrong works getting burned up. But anyway, I want you to see something with me in Philippians 3. Turn back with me to Philippians 3. I never did get in 2 Thessalonians 2, but I just don't have the time. And I want you to come back. And I want you to see what Paul said. Now, I want you to know the flesh, everything the flesh loves is burned up. Do you understand that? You're going to get in the fire until you quit loving money. You're going to get in the fire until you quit loving pride. You're going to get in the fire until your heart quits loving everything except Jesus. And you're going to stay in that fire until you give it up and come to Jesus. And then that's the only way you're going to have peace from it. Amen? So if you ever fire and you've got trials, James 1:2 said to count it joyful when these trials come up. The only way you can do that is something supernatural, because 3 and 4 said you're not lacking nothing, and every one of these trials produces endurance. And the problem that if you're shook up about it, it's a problem that you've got a problem in your heart. Is that right? Now that got in your Bible, amen. And those trials are the fire. That's the things that the fires and onions bring pressure on you about. They want you to shrink back from the Word of God. Now, if you see in Philippians 3, verse 7, Paul says, well, whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss. Whatever's gained to the flesh, he said, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Well, now, does Paul let everything be burned up? That's him, or the flesh, or the world, or the things, or he chooses the relationship of Christ against every other relationship. You know you lose a lot of relationships when you know that all desire to live godly in Christ Jesus is going to be persecuted. You know friends, family, and so. Now, do you know the word divide? Then you have to count the loss of everything, because that's when it said to hate your mother and father and all the other things, because you're supposed to love them less than the Lord. You don't love the Lord less than anything else, because when you do, you've got idols. Now, verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I have suffered the loss of all things. I suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish. I count them but rubbish. I count it all rubbish. Now, isn't that something? Now, verse 9. In order that I may gain Christ. Now, if his heart's still tied to it, it might have a problem gaining Christ. Isn't that right? And verse 9, that I may be found in him. I don't want a righteousness of my own. I don't want self-righteousness derived from the law or the works of the law. But that which is through faith, Jesus Christ being the Lord, led by the Spirit of God, in Christ, the righteousness which comes through God on the basis of faith, which is obedience. And when you do this, this is what happens to you. Jesus becomes control of your life, and that I may know him. And then that's the way I'm going to know the power of his resurrection. I'm going to enjoy the fellowship of his suffering, because I'm going to be conformed to his death. Because everything that doesn't look like Jesus, is God is going to leave me. I'm giving it up, and I'm suffering the loss of everything, and coming through the fire and the trials, all this stuff is going to burn off of him.
This concludes tape number 8. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number 9, where this message continues.